This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm John Itzty.
We are prepared to receive the inspectors within the assigned timetable. We are eager to see them perform their duties in accordance with international law as soon as possible.
Iraqi Ambassador to the United Nations, Mohammed Al-Douri, speaking to reporters on Wednesday, just after delivering a response to the UN Secretary General, saying that Iraq would comply with the demands of a Security Council resolution calling for renewed weapons inspections. With me to discuss the week's news is NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore. Welcome, Dan.
Oh, let me welcome you, John.
Well, it's good to be with you.
My pleasure.
The letter from Iraq accepting the conditions of the Security Council resolution had quite a bit more to say than just "we accept."
Oh, yes.
Give us a little more of the substance of the document.
Well, actually, the word "we accept" was never quite used there. It would say "we will deal with the resolution." And it was a very long letter, and basically it would say this whole resolution of the Security Council is a bunch of lies, and it's terrible, and we hate it, and so on and so forth. But in the interest of saving our people from being clobbered by you Americans and all, we will deal with it, and you can send your inspectors.
So is anyone taking the Iraqi acceptance at face value?
Not anyone I know. I mean, it is very difficult to believe that having had 4 years without inspectors, and because he really wants to dominate the Middle East, that he's not developed something in the way of some kind of weapons of mass destruction, be it only biological or chemical. And while he says he has no weapons of mass destruction, do people believe it? Well, as I say, I've not run into anybody who said, oh, he tells the truth.
Well, the Iraqis had a week to make this acceptance. They met that deadline. The next deadline under the Security Council resolution is December 8th, when Iraq must disclose all details of its weapons of mass destruction program. Will we know whether Iraq is serious about complying by that time?
December 8th is kind of a moment of truth. As you say, they've asked for a complete accounting of everything in the way of documents that they might have, of any kind of weapons that they might have, preparations for weapons, material to make weapons, and all of that. And depending on what comes out on December 8th, but if they say they have no weapons of mass destruction, how can they possibly account for them? So when we get to December 8th, we are up against it.
Mm-hmm. And in this situation, we're not going to have weapons inspectors as we had previously going one site to another, right?
Well, we have inspectors, and the first party of inspectors is going into Baghdad on Monday to get ready for all that. But it's not going to be the old-style inspection where they go around and the stuff is taken out of the back door while they're going in the front door, or they have to wait 5 hours or something like that. This is going to be something different. It's going to be, this is your accounting. You say you don't have anything. All right. Now, we have some information here. It comes from the CIA, or it comes from French intelligence, comes from British intelligence, all the rest. So the real inspection comes not based on what the Iraqis say, but what our intelligence says.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, the threat of military conflict continues. President Bush has said that the United States will have zero tolerance for Iraqi maneuvering. What does that mean, zero tolerance?
Well, zero tolerance means if you in any way don't comply with the resolution, I'm ready to go to war against you. But what is a material breach, which is a word that's used in the resolution? It means not just any breach. Material has to be. How do you define a material breach? It is not if you were kept waiting 2 hours because the guy who's supposed to let you in is out to lunch or something like that. They can be very minor things where the United States probably wouldn't pursue them, although the president says zero tolerance. It may not be exactly zero tolerance. But at some point, there's going to be a back and forth as the inspections start and we find out whether they really are willing to cooperate and what do they mean when they say we will deal with your resolution.
And certainly from past experience, we know the Iraqis will push this as far as they can until they think something serious is going to happen.
Well, that, of course, is their great motive in all of this. They play for time. We know that the troops that are being deployed have to get into action somewhere about February or March at the latest if they want to make it this year or this coming year. And the Iraqis have nothing to do except to say, we're cooperating. I'm sorry, we don't have this yet. We don't have that yet. This is just a small thing and all the rest of it. But it's going to be very, very difficult. It is Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, who says we have to keep a gun to his head to make him comply. Well, the gun is there, but he can also play his games.
Mm-hmm. Just one day before Iraq presented its response to the United Nations, the Arabic language television network Al Jazeera broadcast an audio tape of a man professing to be Osama bin Laden. Most people now believe it was Osama bin Laden.
Generally accepted by people. Nobody has said that it's not. They don't have the absolute technological knowledge that it is, but it is presumed to be.
And he renewed threats against the United States and its allies. What did you find the most interesting part of this tape?
Well, what I found interesting about it, first of all, he sort of claims credit for every act of terrorism that's happened anywhere in the world, whether it be the hostage taking at the Moscow Theater, or whether it be the bombing mainly of Australians in Bali, all the rest of it. It sounds as though he says, these are all part of my plan, and that plan will go on. He lists a series of countries and says, Britain, France, Germany, others, and says, I'm going to take after you if you go on cooperating with the United States. The other thing is that for the first time, he embraces the cause of Iraq. Until recently, although the Bush administration tried very hard to prove that there was a link between the al-Qaeda and Iraq, they never really succeeded in proving it very well. But now he comes out and says so. They're killing our children in Iraq. We will fight for you in Iraq and all the rest of it. And what's very interesting is the way in which finally, the terrorist network of al-Qaeda now begins to adopt Iraq as part of its cause.
And previously, Iraq had been outside its cause. It was seen as a secular regime.
Yes, because Osama bin Laden is said to have called Saddam Hussein an apostate, an infidel, all the rest of it, because indeed, it was a secular, non-Islamic regime. But now they're in the camp.
If Osama bin Laden is alive, what does that mean for the fight against terrorism? Is the United States making any progress?
Well, the fact of the matter is, if you think back to how often it is that our president has said, dead or alive, we're going to get him. And now, 14 months after September 11th, he may very well still be alive and kicking, if I can use that word.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn our gaze to Capitol Hill for a moment. Congress began its lame duck session this week, and it appears as though the legislators are actually getting a few things accomplished, things they weren't getting done before the election, not the least of which is the president's coveted Homeland Security bill.
He got his Homeland Security bill, and he also got along with it in the version passed by the House, a way of having the Army monitor everything you do in the way of your credit cards and all the rest of it. There is an information system built into that, which we didn't know about until recently.
And this passed the House, hasn't passed the Senate yet.
Passed the House and hasn't passed the Senate yet.
It'll be interesting to see how the Senate responds to it.
Indeed.
Thanks very much, NPR's Dan Shore. Oh, but first, Dan, who's in charge in China?
Right.
Right. Thanks again, Dan.